Do I really love Jesus? Or do I just use Him? I'm going to talk about holiness today. Holiness and prayer in particular. When we misunderstand God's grace, we have a tendency to be casual in our obedience. How many know there are many people that abuse the grace of God? They talk about the grace of God, but they live like the devil. And what that means is they have not really understood and possibly have not even received the grace of God. Because the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us something. And that is we need to live holy. We need to be holy. God wants us to obey Him not because of the things we want, but because we love Him. Do I really love Jesus or do I just use Him? Well, I think probably both are true in my case. There's times when I have certainly. I think my motivation has been all selfish, you know. Anybody beside myself ever had a selfish motivation in your heart? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, we'll pray for you. But we have to avoid that thing, don't we? We don't want our own way. We want His way. And you're not going to know His way until you know the way. Until you are intimate with Him. Until you have a relationship, a friendship with God. There are those who I believe are genuinely in the kingdom, but they're not necessarily a friend of God. I don't want to just, you know, be a citizen of heaven without the connection to the King. In the sense that I know Him, I walk with Him, I obey Him, I love Him, I serve Him, I want to be with Him. I don't want to just use what He has and come to Him with a list of what I want, but I want to pray and I want to come into obedience not because I want something, but because I love Him. There's a difference. A true friend loves at all times, right? A true friend loves. So it's not about, you know, what can I get out of this relationship? Most of us have been stung by that. Maybe you've been on the other end of that. Who knows? God knows. But there's been a lot. Everybody gets abused somewhere along the line. Yeah. So your problem, in some ways, may be worse than others, but everybody has problems. Everybody's been abused. Everybody's had a hard time in this world. And as a follower of Jesus, our citizenship is not in this world. It's in heaven. Amen. So we are pilgrims. We are a pilgrim people. We're passing through. And because our God is holy, we must also be as Him. We must also be holy. John 14:21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest or reveal myself to him." Are there any conditions in this verse? Mm-hmm. Who are the ones who love him? Right. Now, there are those, I believe, who keep commandments but don't really love him. There are those who live out of law and out of obligation. And then there are those who live out of grace and out of fellowship with him. And when you're in a relationship with someone, you want to do that which pleases them. Amen? You don't want to hurt that person. But if you're an employee working for somebody who you may not know, how many ever worked for a big corporation? And you might have had the privilege of seeing them on a picture, but you didn't even know who the top man was. You had no idea what this guy was like or this lady was like. You just worked there, punched a clock, got paid, you know? And most of the time did it grudgingly. Well, I hope not. But I've been in situations where people, they just, you know, they, instead of being thankful for the job, they just complained all the time, you know? and they were biting the hand that was feeding them. But there's a difference between being an employee and being a friend. Would you agree? God didn't want employees. He wanted friendship with you. He wants to be your friend. And His commandment is to love. And so when we love, we are being a friend of God. The Bible says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. Now, Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many know that He's not talking about just when you die and go to heaven? And how do we see God? Well, I believe we see God in different ways. But ultimately, to see God is only possible when He reveals Himself. Would you agree to us? And He said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. He's not saying that go down this list of do's and don'ts. He's saying, listen to me. Listen to my voice. If you love me, you'll listen to me. Because His commandment is love. It says, my Father and I will love you, and we will come what and manifest, reveal ourselves to you. People, sometimes, you know, people have visions where, people have seen Jesus. But folks, how many believe that that's not the only way that we see God? It's part of it. There are some people that are very visual in the body of Christ, that they do have a lot of visions and they may see things in the spirit. But then there are others who are more audio. And they hear things. They hear sounds from heaven, if you will. They hear something. And when they talk to you, when we converse, we would say something like, do you hear what I'm saying? You know, where the visual person would say, do you see what I'm saying? How do you see what I'm saying? You understand in your heart. The light comes on. You have an understanding of what was said, what was communicated. You begin to see. So you have visual people, you have audio, but you also have kinesthetic people who are the feely types. I'm probably more of that. You know, Jerry will always say something like, I just feel like God is saying this. And in some cases, you know, those kind of people, they get written, oh, we don't live by our feelings. Hello, God reveals Himself to us through our feelings often. It's a sense. We sense things in the spirit. What's going on? Often I sense things in people. I'm talking to them. God will give me a sense about something. And it's so clear that I'm actually seeing it clearly, if you will, in my heart, and understanding what needs to be addressed here. So because we don't have visions of God or see Jesus, doesn't mean there's something necessarily wrong with us. God reveals Himself in different ways to different people. But God desires to reveal Himself. And God said, if you seek me with your heart, amen, with all your heart, then He said, I will reveal myself to you. I'll make myself known to you. And because God said that, that means that you and I must seek Him. It just does not automatically happen, folks. And so when Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. Amen. He overcame the world on our behalf. Ascended back to the Father. Is at the right hand. And has sent the Holy Spirit to you and I in Christ. Amen. We have received His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ in us. That we may know the things that are freely given to us, that God wants to reveal by His Spirit to us. But there has to be an agreement with the Holy Spirit. There has to be a cooperation with the Holy Spirit where we say, Lord, reveal to me. Show me your face. We pray for open doors. Prayer is the key and unlocks the treasure in heaven. Amen. That releases it. That is why we must pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Now, if Jesus didn't think prayer was important, I said this before, He wouldn't have told us to pray. As a matter of fact, Jesus lived continually in prayer. Constant communication with the Father. So we would learn the example and follow in His steps. That in order for us to receive the kingdom, amen, and to see His will be done, we have to pray. We have to call in that which is invisible into the visible. That which is eternal into the temporary. God wants heaven and earth to come together. And He's using you and I as those people, those agents on the earth, to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To call in the kingdom, amen, into manifestation here. Do you believe with me that our prayers are very important?
Yes. Yes.
That we have to pray for the will of God to be accomplished. You can't just go out and do it except through prayer. That's where it all begins. You receive our assignments through prayer, through revelation. God reveals Himself and He reveals His plan. So we know. And we say, I see. When you ask someone, do you know Jesus? You know, if anyone's in Christ, and they can say, yeah, I know Jesus. How do you know Him? Well, I feel Him. I sense Him. I see the result of Him in my life. How do you know the wind exists? Well, I see its effects on the trees. I feel the gentle breeze. Amen? But can you see the wind? No. But there are manifestations. It's a reality. Even though we don't see it, we know it's there. So it is in the Spirit, Jesus was telling us in John 3. We receive His Spirit and our thinking begins to change. We begin to get God's thoughts. We begin to know the difference between what's right and wrong. We become more discerning. You know, we can smell a rat when we see it. But you've heard it said before that you can be in the house with somebody and yet be disconnected from them. So as believers, we must remain in fellowship with the Lord. Would you agree? And that's through prayer. We must walk and talk with the Lord. And we must listen. Because He's speaking. Blessed are the pure. That means unmixed in heart. For they shall see God. We say, oh, I see. What are we really saying? I understand. I get it. Someone may say, I see what you're really like. Anybody ever say that to you? Oh, I see what you're really like. Now, that can be negative or positive. Hopefully, it's going to be a positive when they say that to us, right? I'm beginning to see what you're really like. What are they talking about? They're talking about your character. They're talking about your person. They're talking about the real you, not the shell that you live in called your body, but they're beginning to know the person beyond the shell. The real you that lives inside that body, amen? That earth suit. God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to see Him. He wants us to understand Him, to know Him, to know His ways, to know His person, to know His character, to be a friend. A friend of God. Holiness is not some mystical weird thing, folks. Amen? Would you say amen?
Amen. Holiness means one in the sense of completeness. It's an integration of what one says, believes, and does. Integration of what one says, believes, and does. Integrity means integration, right? If a person is integrous, that means what they say and what they're really thinking are going to line up with what they're doing too. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, you run into anybody, run into somebody that's saying one thing with their mouth, but their mind is thinking something else? Sure. Have you ever done that? Or we say one thing, but we do another. That's what it is to be unholy. To be mixed. In other words, when things are not in alignment, you're unholy. When we are double-minded, we are unholy. When we are single-minded, when we are focused, when what I think, what I say, what I do is all together, it is in alignment, I am a whole being. Do you get it? God is completely perfect in all of His ways. What God thinks, what God says, what God does, who God is, all line up. He never does anything that is not who He is. If you get a revelation from God, it's a revelation of who He is. He is completely pure and perfect in all His ways. He's holy. He's complete. And He wants you and I to also come into alignment and to be complete as well by the Spirit of the living God. We are brought into order. Our lives are brought into order. We are made complete as we cooperate with the Spirit of God. So integrity, integration of what I think, what I say, and what I do. Who I am. People will know who you are eventually. Isn't that true? How many have ever been in a dating relationship where you're just laying it on really thick for a while? Until you got maybe a few months into it, and eventually the facade begins to wear off and break down, and there's a few cracks in your, you know, and your facade there, and they begin to see more, and they say, oh, now I see what you're really like. That's never happened to me, but yeah. God is holy because what He says, what He does, and who He is are the same. God reveals Himself to those who are holy. You want to see God? You must be pure in heart. You must be whole. Integrity means to be integrated in thought, word, and deed. Why is holiness important to prayer? Why must we be holy in prayer? Because unholiness cannot remain in His presence. In the Old Testament, if they went into God's presence, into His glory, and they were unholy, they had not gone through the process of being sanctified or set apart or separated from that which was evil or filthy or defiling, and they tried to go in without going through the ceremony of washing and of cleansings, they put a rope on the ankle and a bell. And if that high priest went behind that veil and he was not holy, and he came into the presence of the holy God, man, he'd be struck dead. And if they heard that thing, that those bells quit ringing, they had to pull him out by the rope. Aren't you glad that's not the way it is today? Aren't you glad that Jesus makes us holy? That Jesus gives us access through His blood? Amen. And through our cooperation now with Him. Both are important. We can claim the merits of Calvary, but we also need to obey the voice of God. If you do what I say, keep my commandments, it is He who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and reveal or manifest myself to him. You want to see God? How many want to see God?
Amen.
1 Peter 2:9, we read this last week, but you are a chosen generation. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the church. Israel, amen, was the representatives of Jehovah on the earth as a people that were called and separated to represent him. Amen. And instead of being the conduits through whom God moved and worked, they became the sole recipients. Today in the church, we can do the same thing. We can simply be a sole recipient of the blessings of God and not be a conduit through whom God works. Are you with me? But Israel was to be a holy people. They were to be complete. They were to follow in the ways of the Lord. Today in the New Testament, we also are to be holy. Would you agree? And our holiness is not, again, a matter of willpower. It's a matter of relationship with He who is holy. When we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, when we are in agreement with God, we are holy. As soon as we say, no, not going to do it, God. I know what you say, I know what you expect, but I choose to do something else. Thank you very much. I choose to go my own way, do my own thing. As soon as we say that, guess what? We have become divided. We have become double-minded. One part of us is saying, I want to follow Jesus, but we're allowing ourselves to be divided. And so what happens is a disintegration of the integration, right? And God wants to bring it back in, into order. And that's called repentance. We simply come to God and we say, Lord, if I've sinned, and if you know you've sinned, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And He's willing, He's faithful, He's just, He wants to forgive, He wants to cleanse you, He wants to give you a shower on the inside, and He wants to bring you back into right order, right relationship. Amen? But a holy person is not one who just does whatever they want and then they just keep coming back to Jesus saying, I'm sorry. A holy person is one who have made up their mind, they have repented. That means I've made up my mind. That means I have turned away from sinful things, lesser things. And now I am going to follow Jesus. It's an attitude of my heart. Not that I'm going to be perfect, but that I have determined in my heart that I'm going to follow Jesus. And when you get your eyes on Him who is perfect and holy, as we reflect, as we look into His glory, into His image, as we look at Christ, as we begin to see Him, as He begins to reveal Himself to us, it begins to change us on the inside. Something begins to be transformed in us. And we begin to take on more and more of His likeness. The more that you worship, the more that you pray, the more that you walk with God, the more that you are in His Word, the more you become like Him. Because you will become what you eat. Amen? And if we're eating and feeding on Jesus, we're going to become more and more like Him. God wants us to be whole. He wants us to be complete. Whole grain bread, right? None of that artificial stuff. None of this, you know, organic whole grain, even better, right? No contaminants. Nothing in there to mess you up. How many believe today that you are a chosen generation? That you are a royal priesthood. And as a priest, we are to what? Pray. We are to intercede. We are to make petitions known to God. Amen. We have the privilege of coming before the Holy Father by the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? What part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Through verse 16. What is he saying? There are contrasts there. There are opposites. Amen? You can't live a double life and be holy. That's why we're warned here, even in marital situations, not to, Especially if you're already a believer. It doesn't apply to those who were not a believer and they got into a relationship and now they are. But it does apply to those who may be contemplating or thinking about a marital covenant, that they are not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because rarely do we ever convert that person. Amen? And then there is this conflict that goes on in the spirit underneath things. Because there's an incompatibility in the spirit. What's happened is it's an unholy union in the sense, you know, that I made a decision to go contrary to what God's will was. Now, if you're in a relationship already and you get saved and your spouse is not, they can be sanctified by you in your right relationship with God. So they can be sanctified. They can also be holy within that place. However, when we mix with the world, how many have ever seen the bumper stickers coexist? Now, that sounds great. Why can't we all just get along and get together and be one big happy family in the world? And all religions just lead to the same God, don't they? No?
No.
I used to think that way, you know. I used to think, coexist, you know. Let's just all get along. Let's just all, you know, put aside our differences and meet on common ground. Now, listen, in all religions, there are commonalities. Absolutely. Most of them are peace-loving. Most of them do have some good. They believe in helping the poor, doing good deeds, right? And that's good. The problem is, there's no salvation. There's no rite of passage to the Father. They're making an attempt to get to God through an unholy way. There's only one way, and that is through the complete one, Jesus Christ. Amen. The complete one, Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is not just an ascended master. He is not just a prophet and a good man and a good teacher. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the way. And only through the blood of the covenant, can you and I become whole again. Otherwise, it's a constant attempt to save ourselves. A constant attempt. And so many poor people out there are working so diligently to be just perfect. And they're never there. They're never going to be there. And then they'd never have the assurance that we can have. That we have in Christ. That things are right. I have peace with God. Through the holiness that I receive in Christ. God became a man. It happened once in history. And He came to reintegrate us. Amen? Back in. To Him who is holy. He who sanctifies. And those who are sanctified are of one. You and I being sanctified, and He who sanctifies. He makes us holy. He integrates. He brings things back into alignment. I don't know about you, but my life is a whole lot better, and it makes a whole lot more sense to me now than it did before. I was on a constant, you know, journey to discover who I am, why am I here. Anybody ever been there? Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." When we are holy, we will believe that what God says and what God does are the same. When we are in right relationship with the Lord, how many know that there's very little room for unbelief when you're in that place? How many would agree with me when you've had a good time of prayer, a good time of worship? We've been in His presence, you know, that faith comes a lot easier. Our faith level has risen to a place where now miracles begin to happen. Because unless we're integrated, unless we're holy, You know, and in our thinking, our minds are not divided, but our minds are also, right, controlled by the Spirit. Now, it becomes easier to believe God for things to happen. So God wants to manifest or reveal Himself. He wants us to see Him. He wants us to see Him. And when we say see, we're talking about know. To know Him. To know Him. The pure in heart are able to know Him. Why? Because only the pure in heart can be in His presence. If you want your prayers answered, you need to be sanctified. You need to be holy. You also need to cooperate with the Spirit of God. How many know the Lord can be grieved and He's not going to answer your prayers? He still loves you and He still accepts you, but if you grieve Him, it can hinder your prayers. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I want to live right and I want to live in cooperation with God because I don't want my prayers hindered. I want to know that I'm not throwing out blanks, amen? But when I pray, I'm making the connection.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And my faith level rises when I walk in relationship, when I'm a friend. When you're a friend, you know Him. You hear Him. You perceive Him. You feel Him. You feel His heart. Anybody ever feel the heart of God? You get grieved with the things that He grieves over. You rejoice in the things that rejoice Him. When God is pleased here, folks, how many know there's just an ecstasy? It's like you can just sense when God is pleased. And He's smiling on us. God is pleased with our worship. That we love Him and we desire Him and we want to be with Him. Not that we're just here to use God. But that we really love Him. And the more that we know Him, the more you will love Him. Now, all of us, I believe, love the Lord to some degree, but I don't know about you, but I want to love Him more.
Yes.
I want to love Him with all my heart.
Amen.
All my soul, all my strength.
Yes.
And that's not possible under the law. That's only possible in grace. It's only possible in relationship. The people could not understand that. How am I going to love? Everything was, I had to do this. It was an obligation. They were employees, you know. But God wanted friendship with man. And the only way it was possible is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. To be a friend of God. To be in right relationship. And if we blow it, aren't you glad we have one with the Father, an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ? That He's not going to make you crawl on your knees till they're bloody. Amen. You don't have to beat yourself, flog yourself. You don't have to nail yourself to a cross. You don't have to do indulgences. You don't have to do any of that. You just need to come with an honest heart and say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it. Would You forgive me? Change my heart. Make me holy. Make me holy. Make me holy. How many pray that way? Make me holy. Say, Lord, make me holy. I want to be just like You. I want to be one in You. As You are one in the Father and the Spirit. James 1, verse 5. Again, I want to just read this again because it has to do with what we're talking about today. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. How many have tried to pray for people when you've been completely dried? You haven't been walking with God. You know, you're just disconnected. And all of a sudden, you've got to pray for somebody. It's kind of like, you know, you're just almost going through the motion. Versus when you're walking with the Lord closely and you pray for somebody, it's like there's a level of faith that's there that's supernatural. There is a gift that God gives called faith. There's a gift of faith. All of us have a faith. When we came in this morning, we sat down in the pew. We had faith it was going to hold us. You didn't check it out first. But you just sat down in faith. When you went to get a glass of water or fill your coffee pot, you went right up to the sink and you turned that knob on. You didn't go out and check your water tank. You didn't go down and look at your pipes. You just went up there and grabbed the thing, turned it on, because you had faith. You expected a result. When we pray, we must expect a result. We have our faith. Our faith can activate miracles from heaven, can bring them in. But then the faith of God takes it up to a whole different level. And it's easier to believe when that gift of faith comes. There are certain things that I just have in my own faith that are easy for me to receive. How many know what I'm talking about? Maybe you know what I'm talking about. But then there's certain things that you need the faith of God. I mean, that gift to be in operation. And so we pray, Lord, release the gift of faith so we can believe for greater things. I don't want to be tomorrow where I was today. I don't want to be, next year where I am right now. I want to have grown. I want to have gone on. I want to move forward. I want to go deeper. I want to grow up. When we say one thing and do another, we are unholy. Verse 7 says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." What is it talking about? Again, it's not being integrated as to what we're thinking, what we're saying, and what we're doing. So when we pray, amen, we cannot be divided. We need to be single-minded. When you pray for somebody, and when you ask the Father for something, don't go to the Father with, "Well, God, I'm hoping you're hearing me." The man upstairs kind of approach. And if you are, would you do this for me? And I hope it happens. When you come to God, you believe He is. You believe that because of the blood of Christ, you have access to the throne. You believe that the blood of Christ covers you and makes you accessible to God. Amen. You can access God. You believe in what Christ has done for you. You come into order with the Spirit of God. You listen and cooperate with Him as you come. And you pray according to His will. What is His will? Well, Jesus says, if you obey my commandments, if you listen to my voice, then you will ask and it will be given to you. Come on. We have to be in agreement with heaven. We have to be integrated with Him in order to have our prayers answered. We all have our own ideas. There are a lot of people that have their own Jesus, The one I fashioned to fit me. But they're unholy because that's idolatry. We are to conform and to come into alignment with Him who is holy. We are to be integrated into the Holy One. And when we are there, by faith, we can receive answered prayer. So when He said, "He who doubts is like the wave of the sea being tossed to and fro. And do not suppose that that man will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So I'm almost through here. How do I get over this double-mindedness thing? The answer is very simple. It is an act of our will, would you agree? We do have to align. We have to choose His will. Choose His way. And the only way we're going to know what the will of God is by coming to Him. Who, amen, will reveal His heart and reveal His mind. When we talk about fellowship in the Spirit, when we talk about communion, it means to know His heart and His mind. It means to come into a place where you know the heart and mind of God. And then when you ask, you know what you're asking for. You're asking according to the will of God. You're not asking with a wrong motive or a selfish ambition. Amen. But we're asking according to the will of God. Does God want to heal the sick? Yes. So we come and we pray and we believe. Don't complicate it. Don't turn it into a formula. Just become a child in your faith. And be very, very, let me make something very clear. Is always be very quick to acknowledge that it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's you, Jesus. You do the work. I just make myself available as a vessel. And for what purpose? So I may make you known. That I might bring you glory. That I may bring you honor. That I may make you famous. Sometimes when you make Jesus famous, He'll make you famous. But if you try to make yourself famous, He'll take care of you. Or you may be famous for a little while, but it won't last. But when God exalts us, no man can take it away. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled. God is teaching me how to get out of the way. You know, how to let Him do it. And how many here today need an answered prayer right now? I mean, you're here, you say, I need some answered prayer. Probably all of us have a hand up, right? Really? That's okay. I know you're getting tired. Can't get your hand up anymore. But Father, we thank You for the privilege of coming before You. Oh, Holy Spirit, come right now, Lord, and I pray that You will just blanket us in Your presence. Let the glory of the Lord rest right now upon every heart, every ear. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. Shabbat. I thank You for this, Lord, this moment. I thank You for the revelation of Your Word. I thank You that You are the Holy One. I thank You that You are the one who makes us holy. Lord, we pray today that You will make us holy. Lord, we pray there will be an integration of what we think and what we say and what we do, that it will be in agreement with who You are and what You have promised, knowing that You will do what You have promised. And so as it is in heaven, Father, let it be on the earth right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. If you need healing today, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Just stand up. Okay, I want you to please come down to the front. We're going to believe God right now. You're going to be healed today. You're going to be healed today. I want you to declare that. Say, Lord, I thank You. Thank You that I'm going to be healed today. I want you to enter into that faith, that place of faith today. I'm going to ask everyone else, please, to stand. Everyone here to please stand. I know some of you need to go. And we thank You so much for joining with us. If you'd like to stay behind and pray with us, that's fine. If you need to go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We'll be here tonight at 6. We love you and we appreciate you coming and joining with us. Take what you received today and bless someone else with it. Amen. Go with God. And we're going to just right now agree, hallelujah, with heaven for the will of God to be done in this place. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit given unto us. Father, I acknowledge today that I am poor in spirit, that apart from You I can do nothing. But I believe all things are possible to them that believe. Father, sanctify our hearts and our minds right now. To believe, to see the glory of God. To believe, to see the miracles right now manifested on the earth. We call in right now the miracles of healing. Father, we pray release the gifts of healing right now. We pray release the gifts of your Spirit right now to operate in your people. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, in faith, we're going to lay hands and we're going to receive healings today. Let's scale. Yeah. Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for the gifts of healing right now, and every curse is broken. In the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus breaks every curse.